Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. My name is Robert Morrison, and here with me to celebrate that sweet, sweet victory and that number two seed is a fellow contributor at ninernoise.com, Mr. Akshaz Devadwala. Akshaz, man, how are we doing?
You know, we are feeling pretty good, excited, but there's always a pit in my stomach when Seattle's on the schedule.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those guys are weird. And, yeah. You know, I don't really want weird in the playoffs. I want 30 to, like, nothing, grind it away.
Yeah.
Keep it moving.
Yeah. I think I mentioned this a little bit ago on the podcast, but I wrote a couple of weeks ago where I was like ranking the teams that were most worrisome of like potential playoff, first round playoff matchups. And I had Seattle as number one only because of that whole it's hard to beat a team three times thing. And that's really about it. Like I'm not like terribly concerned about who they are as a football team or anything like that. But we'll talk more about that later on in the week when we get into the specific preview for that game. But obviously today, for this particular podcast, we want to really focus on the fact that the Niners are going into the playoffs. They're the number two seed. They're a 10-game winning streak after beating the Cardinals 38-13 on Sunday afternoon. They have not lost since October the 23rd when they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. And that was their second of two losses in a row after losing to the Atlanta Falcons. They were 3-4. You know, the sky was falling. This team was no good. Like, they weren't going to do anything. You know, forget the season. Let's just punt on it. And then all of a sudden they went into Los Angeles, beat the Rams, and have not looked back since then. And it's just crazy to think about that at this point in the season. I should also take this moment. So I made you sit and wait for like an extra 3 minutes before we started recording, because I had to go back. So back before the season started 8 months ago, I think it was basically right after the schedule was released, I went through and did a prediction, game by game prediction of which games they would win and lose. And I can tell you, because it was a big long thing, like it took up pages and pages of writing. I can tell you that I had them, while I had them losing this final game to the Cardinals, who I thought would be better than they were in 2022. I do want to say, and I, you know, not to toot my own horn too terribly much, but the final record prediction that I had, for the 2022 San Francisco 49ers was 13-4. So now, obviously, it was a completely different season. I had a Trey Lance-led team going 13-4 and getting into the playoffs and all that sort of thing. But, hey, you know, I'll still take it.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about before we got recording that we had a mid-season prediction for how the rest of the season would go on. And I'm, like, pretty sure I put them at best 10-7. So
yeah, something like that. Right. Yeah. We had if I remember correctly, we had like a, because they were 4-4 going into the bye week. And I think we had like a 3-game win streak and a 3-game losing streak. And then another 3-game winning streak or something like that. And yeah, I think that was about where we were, like 10-7, 9-8 or something like that. So a little bit different for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's just one of those things. You can't predict 10 wins. Like, that's absurd. There's a reason why winning like 10 games in a row is super difficult. Things happen. Like, that's the way the NFL goes. And now they got to win 4 more in a row. It'll be, if they pull this out all the way, and who knows what'll happen as they enter the playoffs, it's going to be a fascinating story to be sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's already pretty fascinating, considering the way the season started, you know, with that ugly loss to the Bears, and then they kind of dismantled the Seahawks in week 2, but lost Trey Lance, and then they got embarrassed on Sunday Night Football against the Broncos. That loss looked worse and worse as the season went on, and then they went into the game, you know, they had the Rams at home, and they destroyed them, as they often do. Came here to Charlotte area and took down the Panthers, and you're like, oh, well, maybe they're on the way. And then those two losses that I mentioned already, and it's been a weird season, man, but I'm, you know, excited to see where they are heading into the playoffs. At this point, they're in good shape, and you know, while it would have been nice to get a little help from the Giants and get that number one seed, in some ways, I don't know, this is a weird thing to say, in some ways I'm like, let's continue to ride the wave. Like, they're really starting to get healthy. It's, you don't really get the sense that the bye week would have been like super helpful necessarily. It's not like they had a key player who wasn't quite ready to come back and could have used another week to get ready. Like, they're pretty much raring to go, and they're on such a high, and they've won 10 games in a row. I don't know. Is that a crazy thing to say?
You know, I agree that I think the two might be better, but not for the reason you're pointing out. I think so. In my opinion, I think the two most fraudulent teams in the playoffs are the Giants and the Vikings. Neither of those teams, in my opinion, are particularly good. I don't think the Seahawks are great, but I think they're better than both of those teams. To that extent, I think it's really, really good that if the 49ers can beat the Seahawks, a team I think Vegas has them favored by 10. It's a division game, but, you know, things that should be a win. They'll get there, like, and the Vikings are not good, but the Giants are also not good. So the Vikings should probably win. That's the key. Hopefully. I think it's better to almost guarantee yourself to be in a spot where you'd play Minnesota over Dallas. And
yeah.
It's a home game no matter what. I just think that's like, that's where the Niners really get the benefit of the 2 seed. It's not so much facing Seattle versus New York, but playing at home, like, basically guaranteed to go against Minnesota. And yeah, who knows, if something crazy happens. I mean, I don't think the 49ers should really be concerned about any team, but we've seen the Vikings a few times now. I don't think they're... Justin Jefferson is a top 5 player in the league, probably, but they're not all bad.
Yeah, I think that's right as well. I mean, I think both those things are true. It's, you know, nice to be able to continue to ride the wave, but also the bracket seems to be working out for the Niners, that if, you know, they get through Seattle, that they're going to get either Minnesota. Hopefully they get Minnesota, and because obviously they get the Cowboys, because they get the the higher of the two seeds in the second round is how it works, right? So if the Giants won for whatever reason, they would play Philadelphia. That's right, isn't it? I'm just making this up. Yeah. But if Minnesota wins, then that puts them in a puts the Niners in a position where they'd play them automatically. So that'd be nice to not have to worry about Dallas, who might be the only other good team besides Philly left. Like, I think that's a fair statement to say. Of the three NFC teams, it's really Philly, the Niners, and Dallas that seem like legitimate having a chance to win the NFC, but that's a longer conversation for maybe another time. But like I said, I think the Niners are in a good spot at this particular point. In a lot of ways, and I think this is that win against the Cardinals was just sort of a testament to how they've been playing all for the last 10 games or so. And I think it there was a little bit of that, like, oh no, is the defense going to collapse again? Is it going to be another one of those long days? But in the end, I think the 38-13 really felt like the right kind of ending for that one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a good segue into that final game, there was really like maybe two or three plays where I was like, okay, that's a little concerning. But the first one being D'Amador Lenoir's like inability to get to the ball on the second play of the game for the Cardinals. Maybe an OPI. I don't think they'll call that in the playoffs. So, you got to make a play. But really, it was like, it was very clear to me anyhow that the 49ers were kind of like sleepwalking it. Not in a bad way, but in a let's just win, kind of get out of here. No one should be hurt. Everyone has fresh legs. Don't show anything particularly useful. Just run a vanilla game plan. And, they did everything they needed to do. This team is at a point now where 10 games in a row, I don't think they need to keep on proving themselves every week, right? Like, we look at these games and we think to ourselves, okay, what does this tell us about, like, what they're going to do? But they really earned the benefit of the doubt. And now that we're hitting the playoffs are basically, to use a kind of basic like analogy or like a footballism, it's really just four weeks, right? I'm blanking on the exact phrase I want to say, but it's really like every game is the only thing that matters in a way that like sometimes people forget in the regular season, but a lot of teams keep the mentality towards. It doesn't matter how you beat the Seahawks or if you beat them by 1 or 51. Doesn't matter how you beat the Vikings or the Eagles or win the Super Bowl. No one cares about the fact that you barely won. They only care about the fact that you win. And I think the one thing the 49ers have shown throughout this like stretch is that they can win. They can win when their defense isn't clicking. They can win when their offense isn't clicking. They can win when both are a little weird. They can win when they miss kicks, when special teams goes wrong, when there's a turnover. They can win basically any situation, and they've been through a lot of different ones. So, the Cardinals game was good for what it needed to be. You kind of saw Brock Purdy struggle a little. He got to see some different looks and figure out things to do and protections and whatnot. Deebo Samuel got his legs under him. Elijah Mitchell really got his legs under him. And yeah, that's all they really needed from the game, and that's all they had to get out of it, and that's what they got.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really well said. They took care of business and were able to build the lead early enough that they could get the majority of their starters out heading into the fourth quarter, which was really nice. Like, let Josh Johnson get out there and hand the ball off and you know, give Jordan Mason and Ty Davis Price some carries. I joked, I was watching the game with my dad, and I was joking. I was like, oh, we brought the closer in the sixth inning, because Jordan Mason was out there in the middle of the third quarter. You're like, oh gosh, is this game really over? Yeah, I guess so. So that was good to see that they could do some things, kind of make sure everybody's ready to go. And then it's like, all right, everybody take the field. If I'm not mistaken, by the time the game was over, Trent Williams and Debo Samuel had already gotten like out of uniform and everything. They were like full on in street clothes on the side of the sideline. By the time the fourth quarter came, like in those pictures of the George Odom at that interception at the end of the game, they were already like, they'd been out of uniform for, it seemed like forever at that point, which is, you know, but that's what you want to see, right? That they've made the positive transition into street clothes for sure. But yeah, it was you know, a fun game to watch. As you said, that first touchdown by the Cardinals was annoying. But as I was saying to you before we started recording, it's just like, if that's all they got, who cares? Like, if they cannot run trick plays all afternoon and expect it to work. And frankly, it wasn't really even the trickery that was problematic, because Lenore seemed to have that sniffed out the whole time. The only thing he was really guilty of is being like too short and not strong enough to outmuscle AJ Green was really all that happened there. So I'm not really sure that continuing to be tricky would have helped in either. So you know, good get right game for the defense for the most part. The offense continues to just hum with Brock Purdy at the helm. I think they're well over 30 points a game in his starts, which will include the Dolphins game, even though technically doesn't count. I was laughing at that too. They were showing the quote unquote win loss records of the starters, and it's like Trey Lance 1-1. I'm like, yeah, okay, I guess technically that's true, but this is why QB wins are a dumb stat, because you're attributing the one win to Trey Lance in a game that he played half a quarter, quarter and a half or whatever of, and that was funny. So but yeah, I thought the game was nice. It was good to see all the pieces come together.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. There's so many, it's such an interesting thing, because normally when we go through our normal process of what did we like, what didn't we like, there's always something like really, really like important and engaging, and we talk about it. But I mean, what do you say about like the fifth preseason game? Fourth preseason game.
This happened to come at the way end of the season. We just delayed it for 19 weeks. It's no big deal.
It's, I mean, they're a good football team. There's not really much more to be said. They played well. And I think part of the almost apathy towards the win against the Cardinals is that this team, like obviously they won't say it because no one wants to like look over an opponent so explicitly, but this team is really focused on like the playoffs. They were right, even last week, right? They had, in all honesty, once the Giants decided they weren't going to play their starters, they had nothing to play for. And they took care of business. So it's interesting. I think because of the way 2019 worked out, then of course you have 2021. This is the first like end of the season where the 49ers really could like rest up because the playoffs were coming. Mm-hmm. Before you had that stressing moment in Seattle, which, God, that, man, more on Thursday or Friday about Seattle and football. And then the Rams games, it's interesting. I don't think this team has ever been in a place where they could be, like, quote-unquote complacent before. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be taking it pretty well, all things considered.
Yeah.
But who knows? We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I'd say that's true. Like, at least since Kyle Shanahan has been here, they have been either not good, and so therefore the end of the season didn't matter, or just good enough, but they needed something to happen at the end to kind of either propel them into the playoffs or propel them to the the division championship or whatever it was that they needed at that at the end there. And they've had this thing, the division clinched for what, 5 weeks or something like that, 4 weeks or something crazy. And so it's been at least four games without having to worry about it. Excuse me. And then they just, you know, but they continued. That's been the impressive thing. It's like they had every right to just be like, all right, well, we got the division wrapped up. Like, we know we're going to be at least the three seed. Like, that's fine. Like, we're good. But they understand that it also is great that they're still playing good football and then they're not just sitting back and be like, all right, we're good. What else do we need to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I'm really interested to see in how they play, most specifically this week. Although I think divisional games kind of take away some of the letdown energy because there's a whole added element to it. But, you know, it's a fascinating, like, contrast to 2019 and 2021. And, you know, we will talk about the Cardinals game in more detail because it did happen and it was a very fun game for 49ers fans. But just to complete my point, I think the team has this like sense of invincibility that ironically I would say they didn't have in 2019, despite the fact that they played the same, if not better. And I think that came from just the like newness of what was happening. The fact that players now who are like established stars weren't quite established. But it's also just like, I think they also kind of had this like on the rise, not really sure you can trust them kind of energy about them. The 49ers have been, and you know, all credit to Kyle Shanahan, they've been one of the best teams in the NFL basically since Shanahan was able to get out of rebuilding the roster. 2019 now, you have Super Bowl loss, starting quarterback gets hurt, NFC Championship game loss, and now on QB3, 13-4, 2 seed. I think, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I'm pretty sure they're the odds favorite to win the NFC. I mean, it's a team that's so clearly like better and more seasoned. And honestly, my only concern is just winning 14 in a row is hard, is crazy, and seems impossible. So I don't know if it can happen. I'm not confident it will happen just because we were talking about this earlier before we started recording. You can't ever predict that like a team will win 10 in a row. That's like
right.
Something yeah, a homer will do. That's like, that defies like sensibility. So it's crazy to say, yeah, they won 14 in a row. I can't believe it.
It'll
be a crazy
especially game. Under the circumstances, right? Like the fact that they keep losing quarterbacks, and it seems like they have been pretty injured this year. I mean, not nearly as injured as they've been in other seasons, but they've had important players miss significant amounts of time. But man, I already alluded to this before, but they seem to be getting healthy at the right time. Elijah Mitchell's definitely back and ready to play a role on this team. Deebo Samuel seems to be ready to go. And the good thing is if you keep stacking these offensive players up, it means that nobody has to be like the number one option anymore. You know, I should say congratulations to Brandon Ayuk, first ever 1,000-yard season for him in his career in year number three. So that's fantastic. George Kittle, 11 touchdowns on the year. I believe that's also a career high for him. So that notable things that have happened over the last over this season, but it really takes the pressure off of one guy with somebody like Deebo Samuel coming back, with somebody like Elijah Mitchell coming back, on top of Christian McCaffrey, on top of Brandon Ayuk, on top of George Kittle. Kyle Juszczyk's out there, you know, running and doing all his things too, you know. That, you know, we talk about, oh, you know, there's only one ball, that sort of thing. But there's also only so many defensive players out there that can actually keep up with these guys. And you can put all of those guys on the field at the same time, and you have to account for all of them, because somebody's going to get open. And that seems good enough. But also should note before we get any further along. So it looks like Aaron Banks, Kevin Givens, and Dre Greenlaw are all on track to be getting into practice at some point this week. It seems like they're at this moment, as we're recording on Monday night, Kyle Shanahan said earlier today that they're all, as of now, on looking to be on track to play on Saturday, which would be fantastic to get those guys back. And I think it would be pretty safe to say this is probably as close to full strength as this team has been all season long. If all three of those guys play, if you have all the guys that we just talked about before, other than Emmanuel Mosley, who might be the one key piece that this team is missing, like full stop at this point, I can't really point to a place and go, oh, well, if we just had this guy, I'd feel a lot better. I mean, I don't know if there's something I'm missing, but that seems to be the only one that stands out to me.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's all. They're healthy in a way that is really, it's amazing to say, because they're never healthy. Like,
yeah.
But,
well, you know, and on top of that, some of these injuries looked like they were going to be like season ender. Like Debo was, he was done, right? Like that was it. And we were even thinking, like, oh, he's going to miss all next year, too, because he tore something. He sprained his ankle and sprained his knee. He was out for, what, 2-3 games, and that was it. And now he's back. Like, Aaron Banks, he was down for a long time. Everybody's like, oh, he tore something. Nope. Just a minor little contusion. He's fine. He's coming back on Saturday. It's like they've been avoiding major injury to a large extent in ways that they haven't been able to in the past.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I mean, the only person I can reasonably say it would be nice if they had him, and this is just like poor roster management on the 49ers' part, is Hassan Ridgeway. And that's only because he was playing really, really well at a pretty important spot, given how it doesn't seem like they're really willing to give Kinlaw full run. And Kinlaw's also, you know, working himself back into playing caliber. But no, I mean, we can quibble about, like, in theory, if Jason Verrett had managed to get on the field, that would have been incredible. But, you know, they've done really well with who they've had on. And I think that's I like how this has just become almost a regular season referendum, but there's.
Yeah, I think that's fine for the most part. Like, I mean, we could talk more about the Cardinals game if we want, but the regular season referendum is fun too.
I mean, I think there's something really, really interesting about the magnitude of injuries that they've had and just how like seamless things were. Like the last month, the month where the 49ers offense like clicked, like really started, you were like, wow, Brock Purdy is like, he might really be something. Deebo Samuel was not playing. Elijah Mitchell was not playing. This defense is starting a sixth round, second year player on the outside. And I'm going to mess up his age, so I'm going to check it. But Deshaun Gibson was signed for like peanuts on just like a waiver.
Yeah, like 2 weeks before the season started or something like that. Like the preseason was over, I think, and they were just like, ah, I guess you can come over here.
I think they signed him only because Jimmy Ward got hurt.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, like, think about that too. Jimmy Ward missed like the first month of the year because of various
and then immediately hurt himself when he came back on literally the first play when he came back against the Panthers. And when he broke his hand after coming back from the other injury.
This team has done like something that is very, very difficult to do. And I think if anything bodes well for their like playoff chances, it's this. They've been able to play their style of football regardless of who's there. And I think there was some graph that was circulating on Twitter that had like proportion of perfectly like called plays, offense and defense, like how open your players got on a play and how well defended your defenders were like in position on a play. And the 49ers were far and away first. This is one of the systems in the NFL that just works. And there are obviously ways to exploit it. I mean, we saw there's some issues that the defense has and the offense. You know, Brock Purdy, he's played well, but he's, you know, we're not looking at Patrick Mahomes here, right? His limitations are real. They don't, like, discredit what he's done, but it's just knowing about, like, he's a rookie and there are going to be mistakes. There have been mistakes. This team has just been good enough to make them, like, meaningless mistakes. But when you have a team that's in such cohesion on all three units of the field, and I'm rambling, but I really need to get this point in. I have never been so excited than having Ray McLeod on this team. If there's one, like, small pinpoint thing I could say without like saying Tre'Davious Ward to the defense is the really big addition, Ray Ray McLeod was the perfect addition to this team. A team that already can like run the ball, take time off the clock, impose your will on a team. And now you get 6 extra yards because of a punt return every single time. It's absolutely what they need. And, you know, it's all these tiny moves on the margin. George Odom was the leading special teams tackler. You know, Hufanga is a Pro Bowler. You know, Sam Womack has been a great special teams player. Gibson, Lenore, Brendel, and Burford, and Brunskill. They're all these, like, small bits and pieces. Jordan Mason. This team just clicks. It works together. And I think, you know, the playoffs are going to be really interesting because matchup-wise, and we'll talk about matchups as they come across, there's some teams that can do things that I think the 49ers are a little more vulnerable to. But they've created a, like, an atmosphere, basically, where if they play their game, they're like, probably, I would say, the second hardest team to beat in the NFL. The only exception being Kansas City. If Kansas City is on, that's a nightmare because that means Patrick Mahomes is doing absurd things. But beyond him, and I guess Buffalo.
I was going to say Buffalo's got to be up there.
It's going to be an interesting one. I don't know. I think the Cardinals game was a good reflection of how, you know, the Cardinals were not very good. They fired Cliff Kingsbury because they're not very good.
Yeah.
But, you know, plugging in backup players, third string players, and everything was the same. You know, the system works. And
yeah,
that's a standard that only the best teams in NFL reach. Only like the Patriots before whatever is happening there now. But prime Patriots, Kansas City, Buffalo the last couple of years, Seattle, I guess, God. Green Bay to some extent. Like these teams, they have a standard that just boom, 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 boom. And their teams always hit it. That makes them always difficult to play against. And the 49ers are reaching that point, and that bodes very well for them.
Yeah, wow, that was a lot. All excellent things to say. So which leads me to, of course, the very important question of are John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan going to win executive and coach of the year? Because both those things seem to stand out the frustrating part, like I'm on board for both of them winning. I think they both have strong cases for winning. I think Lynch has a better chance of actually winning just because of the things that he has done to build this team. Obviously, the acquisition of Christian McCaffrey has been the jumping off point for this 10-game winning streak. If you remove the fact that he played against Kansas City 2 days after he showed up. So I think he probably has a better chance than Kyle does, mostly because this team is coming off a trip to the NFC Championship game. And generally speaking, the narrative of Coach of the Year is that, oh, he took a bad team and he made them better, with the exception of the fact. Do you remember the last time that wasn't true, Akshaz? The last time they didn't give the Coach of the Year award to the coach that took his team from the doldrums of the NFL to the heights?
That would have to be in 2019 when a certain team having drafted second overall and then becoming the one seed in the NFL somehow did not garner their coach of the year because Baltimore had things going on.
Yep. Also the same narrative that centers around, that was the same year that the narrative of comeback player of the year switched from a guy coming back from a major injury to a guy who just came back from being Ryan Tannehill, and he was slightly better Ryan Tannehill the next year. So that was a weird, that was the year Niner fans were like, all right, we're getting coach of the year. We got first place in the NFC. We're getting comeback player of the year. And the NFL is like, now we're giving it to John Harbaugh and Ryan Tannehill, and you guys are going to lose the Super Bowl. So nothing for you. So maybe we can get a little vindication on the coach to the Year award this year, on the fact that this team is 13-4 on their third quarterback. That to me is a better indication. Look, I get it. The Giants are supposed to be horrible. Give Brian Daboll all the great job by him getting his team to 8 wins and 1 tie. How much worse were they supposed to be, I guess, would be the question that I would say. They got the playoffs by the skin of their teeth. But, yeah, I mean, what do you think? What do you think about that?
I agree. I think Shanahan is the coach of the year. I think to the, ease in which the offense has just run, I think to some extent he kind of gets dinged for being the offense guy because – His defensive performance is not held for him, despite the fact that he is the head coach, not just the offensive coordinator. But, I mean, I think Daboll kind of lost some steam near the end, only because the Giants kind of they started out super hot. I can't remember, 6-2, 6-3 or something like that. And then they kind of limped their way into the playoffs, which is fine. You know, that's a great job by him. You know, Nick Sirianni, there's those two losses at the end when Hurts was out. That stung his chances. Mike McDaniels, same situation. You know, things kind of fell apart in the second half. The real only other coach I can see getting votes is Doug Peterson. But that's that would be really interesting to me because Jacksonville was bad and now they're good. And that's a huge deal, but let's not kid ourselves. I mean, Jacksonville has Trevor Lawrence. This guy is supposed to be the next Andrew Luck. I question how remarkable that comeback, that turnaround truly is given the fact that they've constantly built that team up. And I think Purdy's dominance has helped Shanahan more. It's not just the fact that they're barely winning. It's the fact that he has Brock Purdy playing better than ever. And it's one of those things where until Brock Purdy, if he ever becomes an established starter, kind of gets his own credit, Shanahan will get credit for what Brock Purdy is doing. So I think that really helps him. Executive of the year, I don't know. Those are weird. I don't really understand how it's voted on. Really what people are looking for. Do I think John Lynch deserves it? I think he's up there. But I could see Brad Holmes from Detroit winning it. Yeah. I could see Joe Douglas in theory winning it. I could see I'm forgetting his name, which John Schneider winning it in Seattle because of that Russell. Yeah. I mean, there's just that's harder because it'll kind of be held against Lynch that this team had studs everywhere. It'll be oh, wow, we got Christian McCaffrey. What a great move. But, I mean, look at this guy. His team sucked, and then he got in six guys, and now they're not terrible. So what did you do just this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the depth thing has got to matter. The fact that they're able to, build depth, the fact that they, I know that a lot of this is a Chris Kocurek thing, but the fact that they just churn out quality defensive linemen all the time, and there just doesn't seem to be that. I mean, obviously between the top guys, if Bosa is not out there, there's obviously a big difference between him and Charles and Menehu, but everywhere else, after Bosa and probably Armstead, there's not a lot of drop off between the rest of those guys. And I think that, the ability to find those guys, how much of that is John Lynch, I don't know. But I think the recognition in that regard would be nice. But I think if John Lynch were talking to us right now, I think he'd say that the recognition that he really wants is for the team to win the Super Bowl. So let's go for that. And if they don't win anything else and win the Super Bowl, then I think everybody will be happy.
I'm really interested. I saw something, and I'll throw it out there. If the 49ers win the Super Bowl, big if, would Lynch potentially leave the GM position and basically allow an Adam Peters or a, man, I'm going to double check his name because I don't want to mess it up. I want to say it's Rand Cockburn. And Carthon. So would and allow either of those guys, most likely Peters, to take the like head mantle. He would probably go back to TV. I'm pretty sure he's in high demand. I just wonder if, you know, the 49ers are getting like a ton of requests for front office executives, for D'Amico Ryans. This is a pipeline they've built. So who knows? But yeah, it's been a tremendous job. I totally agree with you. The fact that like Deondre Lenoir got benched last year. I feel like that's an important thing to know. Not to like pick on him as a player, because I think he's done a great job given like the circumstances, but he got benched last year, has come back this year, is asked to be a starter for a team with Super Bowl aspirations. And he's like, you know, he's playing really, really well, all things considered. Like, yeah, there have been problems, yes. Is he probably the liability of the defense? Yes. But, you know, let's like just reasonably, if you think about like what the Niners probably asked him to be, which is nickel corner at best. Now he's like outside, sometimes up against like, well, it was AJ Green last week, but you know, Tyler Lockett, sometimes DK Metcalf when the 49ers don't travel Charvarius Ward. That's, I mean, that's exceptional. And that's, I think that's a testament to Lynch. And like, I don't think it's likely that other teams have the second year sixth round pick playing such meaningful snaps and really competing. And it's not just like Lenoir. You have Hufanga, you have Dre Greenlaw, Azeez Al-Shaair, Kevin Givens is coming back, which will be huge. Ty McGill has played exceptionally well. Jordan Willis, like these are players who, this isn't even on the offensive side where, you know, Burford, Banks is a second round pick, but Brendel, Mason, Mitchell. I mean, it's not normal. Every team has good players. I think as fans, it's easy to kind of get focused on your own team and like forget the fact that like a player like Jordan Willis is not like better than Hassan Reddick on the Eagles. Or just keeping like in mind that like other teams have good players. But for Willis to be Charles O'Menehue, another name to throw out there, for Willis to be like your fourth defensive end in rotation and to have like the games he's having, that's not a normal thing for a team to have. It's not normal for a secondary to have two late round picks, a linebacking unit to have two late round picks and be the best linebacking unit in the NFL. The defensive line to throw in undrafted late round players and they just like suddenly start dominating. This, I think, quarterback position aside, this is probably the best roster in the NFL. And I think what we're seeing in terms of the ease of these victories and the fact that they're coming is there's the question of Trey Lance was, what happens if you get a quarterback who can execute this 49ers offense in a way that Jimmy Garoppolo just wasn't able to? I don't think Purdy has been like doing something so ridiculously out of line for what the offense can do, but he's executing it. And when you execute this offense with these players and you let this defense run in favorable situations, it's dangerous. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to talk about it right now, I'd say, because, you know, I'll say all this, and then they'll lose by like a last second field goal to Seattle, and then we'll come back the next week and be like, well, what was it all for? But yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with what they're doing. You play who you play against, and I mean, they've made some pretty good teams at the time look downright atrocious.
Yeah, I think that's all good stuff. I think a testament to that. I was just scrolling through Twitter the other day, and I think it was right before the game on Sunday, and somebody had posted like they basically took all the one score games, so every game that ended within eight points, and they said, here's the standings if we reversed all of the outcomes of those one score games. And of course, you know, the Vikings are now like a 1-15 team instead of where they are. And I thought it was very telling, like the standings changed massively. Like the Panthers were like the number one seed in the NFC or something like that. And the Niners still won 10 games. At that point, there's still one game left to go, so we can add another win because they won this game by such a massive outcome. But it just tells you like they haven't benefited from being terribly lucky, right? A lot of their wins have been pretty heavy, pretty massive wins. We only took a couple of wins away from them, from one score game. So I think that says a lot about the quality of this team and the fact that they've generally speaking gone out and taken care of business against teams they should have taken care of business against. I think that says a lot, right, about the quality of this organization right now and the quality of the football team that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and the whole rest of the coaching staff and front office and everybody has put together for sure. So Akshay, we've been talking about this for a long time. We haven't really even talked about the Cardinals game, but I think that's okay. Like I think what the Cardinals game means in the larger scale of the regular season, I think, is an okay way to look at things at this point, because the game, it mattered, but it didn't matter, that whole thing. They were going to the playoffs, they were going to be no lower than the 3 seed, and it was okay, like, but it showed a lot. And so I think it's I think this approach has been a good one. And obviously with the playoffs coming up, at some point we'll have a larger scale conversation, as you said, about, well, what difference did it make? They won 13 games, but if they don't win the Super Bowl, does it matter if they don't get to this point or whatever? But for now, I think we can just enjoy it and look forward to the playoffs getting started this weekend.
Yeah, I mean,
things up.
I think it's an interesting thing. Like, the Philadelphia Eagles have to win the Super Bowl for this season to not be a failure. The Cowboys really have to win the Super Bowl for this season to not be a failure. Buffalo, Kansas City, Cincinnati, all these teams are in the same boat. I don't think that's the case for the 49ers. I think given the fact that they're with Brock Purdy, I say this like every week we do these post-game recaps, and it's hilarious to me how true it becomes. Just appreciate what's happening, because I don't think we'll ever see this again. This is one of the most unique situations, I think, in the NFL. And, who knows how it ends, who knows when it ends, but it was an interesting 18 weeks, and it'll certainly be an interesting who knows how many more.
Yeah. Here's hoping that we don't have to talk about this till after February the 12th at the very least. So that'll be good time. So, all right. Well, Akshay, that was fun. Good conversation. Talking about kind of the Cardinals game, but mostly just the 49ers in general, because hey, if nothing else, this was a very interesting and fun and exciting 2022 regular season. And so now it's just on to the next, right? I'm excited to see what happens in this first playoff game of the 2022 wild card weekend, a super wild card weekend, I should say, now that it's all jacked up with one extra game. I don't know that where they get this stuff from. But we'll be back to talk about that opening game of the playoffs later on in the week. But until then, thanks for listening to this episode of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Please continue to check out ninernoise.com for all your latest 49ers news and analysis. And be sure to rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And of course, share it with all your fellow 49er fan friends. So until next time, let's sound the horn, 49ers.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.